Amareth Falls, Chapter 10, Threshold Tremors. Even with the maid headset planted on my head, dialed to max, I shifted from side to side. I couldn't stop rubbing my legs together, feeling the slick, latex-like surface of my thighs gliding over each other. It became a nervous dance as we waited in the elevator. The contents of my tray came close to spilling several times as my movements increased in intensity. "Are you nervous?" asked Gally, turning to face me in the lift, her dress rustling softly as the latex shifted. No, I'm not, I said, the foggy, burning feeling in my head pushing against the waves of Gally's calmness being poured into me through the link. "I just feel like I'm about to detonate is all." "Oh, that makes sense. The anticipation is quite something, isn't it, Amareth?" she said, quietly lifting an eyebrow in amusement. Before I could form a response, a lift arrived on our intended floor, and Gally stepped out into the corridor. Our surroundings were somehow less attached to the constraints of reality, truly ascending into the ethereal with crystalline pillars etched with runic patterns, pulsing with iridescent sparks of energy. We began to walk quietly. The only noise came from our rhythmic footfalls, the staccato clicking of our synchronized high-heeled feet filling the space. I felt like my conception of reality had finally come undone during the course of the time I was trapped here, and as we drew closer to her quarters, I felt as though I could fall into an abyss that would happily drown me in my worst nightmares. The hallway seemed to stretch out to infinity before us. My mind melted into an anxious, anticipatory puddle, losing all awareness of time. We walked on. My heart pounded in my chest, keeping pace with my mind as I tried to comprehend everything that had changed during the past week. What have I become? At last, we stood before the doors to her quarters. Sylphie perched atop a statue of Artemis, kneeling an empty quiver across her back. It was matched with an armored Aphrodite, snapping an arrow in her fist. The two statues flanked the bespoke wooden door.
"Hello, lovelies," she said with a wan smile. I had never seen Sylphie look tired. "Mistress is expecting to be served by both of you this evening. Sadly, she has been delayed momentarily, and she asks that you would prepare tea for her in the lounge while you wait."
"Okay," said Gally with a nod. The large, embellished door swung smoothly open as we followed Sylphie's luminescent pink form into the belly of the beast. Walking through her quarters, I was surprised to find them less extravagantly furnished than I expected from the Queen of Jupiter. They were still built to match the rest of this Elysium-like palace for sure, but were not lavish beyond reprieve. Even more astounding was that she had a personal gym filling an open area we passed. I almost walked into a wall as I gawked at the trove of equipment it contained.
"Amareth, you doing all right?" inquired Gally, turning to see why I fell behind.
Sylphie interceded on my behalf, and I felt my body gently begin to be pulled back towards the path. My thoughts grew hazy for a moment, my body puppeteered by ethereal hands.
"Seems she was intrigued by Mistress's gym," she said, gesturing with her wand.
"Oh, she would be. But let's be honest, Amareth, I'm not sure you would get much benefit out of it now," said Gally, looking over her shoulder, appraising my form. I blushed profusely at her jab. Before Gally and Sylphie could bully me further, we heard the faint noise of the main door swinging smoothly open. Sylphie hurriedly ushered us along to our destination, a well-furnished sitting room. It sported a magnificent panoramic view out over the rest of the habitat. The lower areas of Calcifer's interior sprawled out in a warped parody of Earth. Victorian influences clearly shaped the furniture of the room, which also contained a spattering of well-tended plants, marbled floors, a nebulous abstract painting, and a shimmering blue ocean of a rug that seemed to roll gently with soft lapping waves of light. My body continued its attempt to rebel against the influence of the headset as we both stood waiting in attention with our trays.
"If I could just break the link."
I could hear her footsteps approaching down the hallway. yet I still couldn't bring myself to look. My stomach wound itself into a pitted lump of metal, denser than a dead star. I shivered, feeling the anticipation pushing me up to the brink of panic. Why was this so hard? I'd seen her before. This couldn't be that bad. It wasn't like she was going to kill me. Sylphie landed across from me on a large potted fern near the window, alighting on an impossibly thin frond. She gave me an exaggerated wink, flourishing her now glowing wand. Like a bat, she launched a spark straight towards me. I felt whatever she did immediately. A calming tingle washed down over my nerves, making me thoughts blank away into a hazy calm. I'm such a good maid. I caught a faint whiff of sulfur as she strode in. Mistress stood quite a bit taller than I recalled, or maybe I was way shorter, wearing a tight padded gray bodysuit, the kind usually worn with an armored or powered spacesuit. Goddess, this woman knew her way around in zero-G? Her brown hair was gathered into a tight braided ponytail that had been wound up into a pinned bun on the back of her head. Smudges of yellowish dust in her cheeks gave her the appearance of a warrior painted for battle. Mistress's amber eyes seemed to glow intensely as she looked me over on her approach. Mistress's body suit shifted sinuously with each step, highlighting her muscular form. I noticed a coating of yellow dust caked on all of its joints and gaskets, lining the segmented portions of her bodysuit. She must have been in a sulfur mine. To think she would set foot in one astounded me. Her public persona certainly wasn't the sort to be sullied by work. I just couldn't wrap my head around it. Well, that turned into quite the spectacular ordeal, she said, freeing her braid from the bun with an exasperated flick of her head. Back on Io again already, mistress? Asked Gally as she set her tray down on a small coffee table in front of a chaise lounge. Yes, well, the two teams are struggling with the heightened level of volcanic activity there. It's been playing havoc on our mining concessions. Mistress said, placing her helmet into Gally's outstretched hands. I froze as Sylphie's not-so-subtle tweaking no longer entirely negated my feelings, leading to my brain oscillating somewhere between high as a kite and seething with contempt. It was disorienting, to say the least. I did eventually manage to set my tray down on the table, only to stand awkwardly in my disoriented state. Besides Gally, Mistress didn't take notice of my robot-like movements. She looked more haggard than a confident queen. I've been stuck in the suit for 12 hellish hours, she continued, turning her back to us and beginning to walk further down the hall. I cannot wait to escape from this accursed thing. I swear, if I have to lead another crew through proper maintenance and piloting of a crawler again, I'll just liquidate the entire damned operation. Oh, mistress, you really shouldn't let new crews get to you. They just don't have the same hands-on experience you do, Gally said as she hastily followed along behind Mara. Shortly thereafter, we entered Mistress's spacious bath. The room practically glowed with the amount of diffuse and concealed lighting coming out of almost every surface. The floor seemed to be one smooth piece of continuous luminescent marble, stretching all the way to the massive bathtub, which itself was composed of translucent, amorphous lava flows of synthetic materials glittering in the illumination of the room. It almost looked like a bathtub floating in the sky. She gestured for us to both approach and said, Lovelies, I cannot wait any longer to enjoy the fruits of my labor. And she winked at me and licked her lips. Gally approached and began helping Mara out of the spacesuit. I wavered at the door, trying to win an impossible battle between modulated neurochemistry and my free will. My sweet, I know you want to be a good girl like Gally, Mara said, smiling wickedly at me over her shoulder as she turned to offer the back zip of her bodysuit to us. Oh, of course, ma'am, I found myself saying before I could even realize what came out of my mouth. My body felt distant as I approached my long-dreaded doom. My hands seemed so small and hapless besides her. I didn't even come up past the top of her full breasts now. My thoughts drained away. Something shifted in my mind the closer I got to her. This isn't supposed to be hard. I just have to help her remove the suit. The first touch felt like 1,000 little kisses on the neck all at once. The whole sequence of undressing became a phantasmagorical and distant scene flitting before my eyes. I felt like I had passed an event horizon, that I would inevitably fall to Mistress's will. My hands shook slightly as I began to help Gally with the task of removing Mistress's suit. I robotically pulled at the sinuous material that made it up, mindlessly guiding the sleeves and body of it off of her. She stood, her body bared before us, her toned thighs and arms coated in tiny beads of sweat. Her scent was an intense mixture of earth tones of cinnamon and the musky potency of a well-groomed woman's fresh sweat. I couldn't help but gawk at her Amazonian body when she stepped into the bath. Even after half a day in that suit, her movements were fluid and calculated. She paused atop the threshold to stare at me before stepping the rest of the way in. She sunk down to her neck in the warm, frothing waters of the bath with a relaxed sigh of contentment. Before I could recover from the tremors that look had sent down my spine, she said, "Well, are you going to get undressed, little doll?" Stricken by her words, I blushed so furiously I could have been used as a spaceport landing signal on Luna. I noticed Gally had begun undressing while I stood transfixed with Mistress's form. Hastily, I began pulling off my uniform, carefully laying it on a nearby counter. Something must be wrong. It's the only way I could feel like this in her presence. I couldn't help but be caught up by an endless swarm of butterflies racing through my stomach, sending tingles I hadn't felt before into my chest. I felt lightheaded. My thoughts came from a steamy mist. I finally approached the bath, a helpless moth drawn to a great and terrifying flame. I couldn't believe that I would willingly go anywhere near her, but each step brought more intensity to the welling sensations that threatened to subsume my conscious mind. To my utter embarrassment, I realized I wouldn't be able to gracefully step onto the side of the bath due to my height. Gally grabbed me from behind with both hands and lifted me off the ground before I could utter a single protest. "Aw, I think you might need a little boost," she said, cooing at me. "Hey, put me down, Gally," I said, trying to squirm out of her arms. "This isn't fair. I could have made it all on my own. Thank you very much." Mistress laughed softly. I think my entire body now manifested the intensity of the blush that had been painting my face pink for the last few minutes. I squirmed helplessly against Gally's grip as she hoisted me up and over the lip of the bath, where she then gently deposited me into Mistress's lap. I could not have imagined a more humiliating turn of events. I tried to quickly slip off her lap, but found strong arms wrapping around me as she pinned my hands into my thighs, and in that moment I truly realized how utterly I had been changed. Before this, I could have lifted her arms easily. Now I couldn't even escape a hug. My face was on fire as I found myself turning to begging for my freedom. "Please, can I go? I really don't want to sit on your lap, please." I squirmed against her strong grip. Mara tutted at me and then said, "There, there, little Amareth. I cannot think of a more enjoyable activity than bathing with such a succulent little morsel as you. I think you would enjoy it a lot more if you just gave in to the experience for a change." She emphasized her statements by groping my breasts heavily, causing me to involuntarily let out a soft mew. I wish I could disappear on the spot. Instead, the cascade of butterflies in my stomach all took flight simultaneously, threatening to shatter what little was left of me. That's when Gally sat down across from us, a small smile blossoming on her face as she watched my hapless attempts at escape. "Aw, I love how she tries to act tough, Mistress. I think it really helps to contrast her absolutely adorable appearance." Mara chuckled, continuing her exploration of my body with her strong hands. "Yes, I think she's some of my finest work today. You know, Sylvie and I sat down every night to work on her design while we were waiting for her to be delivered." Her touches made forming thoughts a distant and impossible task. I had never experienced anything like it. My mind was melting away into her delicate menstruations. I made another token gesture of resistance as I tried to squirm off of her lap. Ooh. I had a feeling Sylvie had a hand in her design. She's so adorably dainty. Those doll-like touches you added are perfect, Gally said, lifting one of my trembling hands up to examine. Yes, well, what I really love is the neural influencing upgrades we put together for her. Her head is packed with so much lovely technology now. Isn't that the same gear that all of the maids have? Yes, but I chose to go all out in making this lovely little maid completely incapable of resisting me. She redoubled her efforts as her hands gently milked my breasts. She squeezed each from their base all the way up to the nipples. You see, the moment she got within a meter of me, a one-way amplified link was established between us, pouring my dominant attitude down on her like the weight of Jupiter's atmosphere crushing a spaceship. I've been anticipating her reaction all week, especially after she went through her training. Honestly, it helped me stay sane throughout today's nonsense.
No, please,
was my entire contribution to the conversation. Being talked about like I wasn't even present should have driven me into a rage, but I only felt the same floaty, tingling rush from being held like her doll. If you thought that was masterful, Gally, you should know we also increased the bandwidth for her. She's got some thoroughly enhanced nerve sensitivity now. I would imagine anything I might do to her would be overwhelmingly intense. To emphasize her statement, she tweaked my nipples, causing me to yelp from the atomic splitting of pleasure and pain. That explains a lot, mistress. Oh? You notice? My, what have you been up to, my lecherous little darling? I hope you haven't been corrupting Eerie too much. Gally laughed nervously. William sort of welcomed her into the sisterhood the other night in the bath. Adorable. You two took down one of the solar system's meanest mercs. She slipped her right hand down into my waiting cleft between my legs. I kicked helplessly as she teased my pearl. They continued to discuss the last few days and how well they thought I had performed. After bringing me to the brink of an orgasm several times, we finally exited the bath. Gally got dressed while I tried to recover some semblance of composure. By the time that I began to return to my body, Mara had already disappeared from the room. I felt shame casting down over me as the realization of what had just transpired sunk in. I couldn't believe how easily she'd reduced me to nothing more than an object. Gally helped me dress once more. We then made our way back to the sitting room in time to begin pouring tea as Mara returned wearing a wispy, smoky gray and semi-transparent latex yukata. Her hair was up in a loose bun, held together by several ornate pins, bearing her house crest on them. Her smile was reminiscent of a former colleague of mine, Dyer, who earned their nickname for their unusual appetite for blood and a broad, hungry, wolfish smile. Amareth, I know that you're still a little on edge, but you should have figured it out by now. You're a cherished toy now, not my enemy. I quickly looked away from her and redoubled my efforts to try and cease existing. My face turned red, but this time, though, I felt hot. Nothing could fully remove the flash of anger that statement summoned from the corners of my soul. Now, if you would be a good girl and serve us some of the food I ordered out of the dumbwaiter, that would be grand, little doll. A HUD overlay flitted into existence, guiding me to my newly stated objective. Felt weird to have something mundane outlined like a target. A pulse of pleasure pushed me along each time I followed its guidance, quickly putting me to work. However, when I reached the dumbwaiter, I realized I needed to grab a tray from a shelf in order to carry back all of the food that was waiting inside. Whoever prepared it neglected to place it on one before sending it up. To my complete and utter chagrin, I realized I couldn't reach the shelf containing the tray at all, even if I stood on my tiptoes. I started to look for something to use as a step. And when Gally noticed my situation, she swiftly made her way to me with a rustle of her latex petticoats and pulled down the tray for me. I thanked her, trying not to show how frustrated I felt with being unable to even reach a shelf for the first time in my life since I was a child. and then felt a second wave of shame upon the realization I also felt frustrated at not being able to serve correctly. How could that even be a thought I could hold? Who am I? Not what even, no, what even am I? I just... We served the food, laying out plates, several sides, and an entree. I was unsurprised to find that we would both be dining with her. I remained silent, picking up my food in an attempt at civility while Gally ate her meal daintily, and Mara voraciously devoured her take. While she never ate sloppily, it became obvious she did not feign a small appetite to look ladylike. It left me wondering what other appetites she wanted to feed.